clarify that we are going to say to the OAS that we have carried this matter as far as we can, and it is now up to the OAS to do violence. I don't like that. I don't think it's going to do you any good, the United States any good, or the OAS any good. I think that...
Well, I don't know. That part of the cable hasn't been read to me. That part of the cable has not made an impression on me. That's a better way to make it. I don't think it's important one way or the other as to how we get them into it. I wouldn't spend 1 minute on that. And if it hasn't gone, I will say that to Paul. Let's go on. But we're sending the cable today for three purposes. First purpose is to say to Guzman that we're playing with the fire here if you're not as anti-communist as we are. And probe that to the extent that we get some hard and fast assurances and agreements. If that can be done. Simultaneously, say to Mr. I that here's what we are requiring, and we'll enforce this. You don't need to, therefore. We're getting what you are, this anti-communist government, an anti-communist community, and we're getting you protection, and we're saving you revenge, and we're giving you annuity, and we're putting you in charge of reconstruction, and we'll give you $100 million to get back to these people. Therefore, there's no reason in the world you should do it, except the reason you want to be king, which we cannot do. And if you have to be king, we just have to oppose it, and we can't recognize you, and you have no hope, and that's through, without being ultimatum at all. The third thing to do, hoping those first two will work and believing neither will, the third thing would be to say to Mora, or you come on back and say to the OAS that this is what the OAS thinks, this is what you think. Then we will stay in there, and we'll let the rest of them come out. And when they ask us about it, we'll say, well, we went down there to evacuate our people. And we went down there to keep folks from killing each other. We've got that ceasefire in effect now. And we went down there to do anything and everything we could to encourage a government of national unity that's not led by Trujillo or Castro. And we're ready to stand on anything that meets that test. We don't want to be dominated. We're glad to let you all pick it.
That's all fine.
And if Mora's recommends what we think he'll recommend, then we say, well, we reluctantly go along with Mora. We'll see if it'll work. We ask you all to all contribute anything you can economically and militarily. And we'll make this a multilateral proposition in more ways than one.
That's all right. I think that's fine. I like that. But I'd like to make a point that in half sentences. Number one, I do believe that the latest Bundy idea of the immediate deportation of the communists who've been trained abroad, minimum of 23 actually, minimum of 23, whatever the hell ever.
OAS.
By Mora to the OAS.
Yeah. Said you then.
Says the thing fell on its face. I worked hard on this thing. We came very close to an agreement. The U.S. has been very helpful. President Johnson even went so far as to send some of his top officials to help the OAS and help me, and it worked in a very dedicated way. But it hasn't worked thus far, and I think I'm going to consider it to do something else. But I would make a 100% all-out try to get an agreement and so the Mora can report back to the OAS that there's an agreement.
Well, that's what we
no agreement, Mr. President. My mate just want to add this. If there is no agreement, Mr. President, I feel confident that there is going to be an increase of sniping by the rebels, that there is going to be increased communist control and less liberal control, or whatever it is that you want to call them, guys, on the rebel side. I feel that there is a danger that they may even try something spectacular, such as break through the LOC, which would be a hell of a bloodbath. And I think that making an all-out try here for us to help Mora get an agreement right now is all that's good. Now, Bundy tells us this morning that Mora's just been wonderful, and he really is working, and he's showing some guts and decisiveness. And that they've done two things. Mora has. One is on the radio station, which you know about, which our brother set up, but he's done it. And the second thing is that they were in the process this morning of working out with Mora the arrangement by which the palace, our land will be extended, and we'll include the palace in our zone, which is a secret lot of sniping, and Mora's trying to sashay that between him, Bert, and Camano, so that I think the fundamental difference, Mr. President, between, let's say my view and everybody else, between my view and the view of George Ball, is this. I believe that their point of view really is, I may be wrong about that, that it would be better for the OAS if this attempt failed, if what's going on out there fails, so that it could go to the OAS.
I don't believe that. I think Ball is doing now. I may be wrong, and I frequently am wrong. So I hedge. I believe Ball is doing exactly what I told him to do. I don't think his opinion is entering into it one bit. I think that he's doing what I told him to do. And I know my opinion is that the quicker and the better that we can have a meeting of the minds that will give us a national unity government that Embert, Balaguer, and Bosch can live with, although it pleases none of them, the better off it will be. Because the moment we get that, I think, we can do it quicker and faster and more intelligent than the LAS. The quicker we get it, more time we'll have to let Mora present it, but us try to, in our own power, in our own way, sell it to OAS. So I don't feel that way, and if Ball does, it doesn't make a difference, because he's not going to have anything to do with it. Now, the Ball telegram was dictated by me to McNamara, who in turn relayed it to Ball. Ball called back with it. I told him I want to hear it again over the phone. It's very difficult to do these things this way. I heard it over the phone, and I told him that I didn't think it was clear in a good many respects. But I thought we had to make it clear that, number one, we are not going to play around or even piddle with a government that's not doesn't know it's going to be anti-communist. So there's no use of us wasting any time on that. Let's make that clear to him, whether we use the San Juan Agreement as the vehicle. Well, whatever we use, that's just got to be. And that means that you've got to get rid of these bad boys. And I didn't mean liberals either. That means the guys that are calling the shots, that are overthrowing the government, and that are killing our people. And that we know are bad boys. And if he's not willing to do that, there's no use messing with it. But to spend all the time you need to reason it out, and I don't care about the mechanics, whether it's 23 or 33, or whether it's by boat or airplane, or whether you put them in a local jail, or put them in incarcerate them in a penitentiary, just so they're done effectively away with, moved out of there. That's the point with the rebels. Now with the loyalists, I think you've got to make clear to him that you've got everything for him, just like I'm going to be able to make clear to Russell and Stennis, and Ellender and Hayden, and Rivers and Bates, and George Mahon and Frank Bowe. I'm looking at all those committees that I'm going to have to be having people testify before. The first thing they're going to say, communist, 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 is like old man Adenauer. And when I say that, I'm going to say, yes, here's Edgar Hoover, and here's Admiral Rayburn, and here are these fellas that you all been laughing at, calling redcoats. These little fan-headed Roland Evanses and Schutzes and Kurzmans and that tripe. I've got the answer. Here's what they are. They ain't a communist there. Segregated them and isolated them, and they have nothing to do with this government. And we got to do that for our own folks. But in doing it for our own folks, we have a natural setup for Mr. I. We say to him, we got no communist in government. You've got three of your men. We got no communist in the country. We're patrolling that and watching it, and so forth. We got every ideal you stand for, every conviction you represent, every viewpoint you've expressed. We have taken care of it for you better than you could, except being king. We've got your annuity, we've got your pay, we've got everything. We've got an assignment for you with dignity. Now, we can't make you king, but you go along with this. And I wouldn't say it at this point, but when OAS hits it, I would say to him, if you don't go along with it, write your ass.
Mr. President, will you let me make 2 points? I think I can help. I want to make just 2 points to you, and I'm trying to do it. The first point is that this provision in the San Juan Agreement with respect to our personnel, power that our personnel have, at least as a matter of words, I expect there's no precedent in international law or politics. And I say that one government says that another government can keep people in there to keep a particular group of nationals of that country under surveillance. Now, the second thing I want to say is that it would not be fair to me or to George Ball to think that I was saying that George Ball was carrying out your orders. What I was trying to do is to analyze out the reason for the difference, as I understand it. And the difference is a very genuine difference, and those fellas being looking at this thing from quite a different point of view than I would, or maybe some other people would, say that the best thing that could happen here is an OAS negotiated agreement, and an agreement negotiated not just by Morgan, but by the Brazilian foreign minister, and the committee proposed the Brazilian foreign minister, Mr. Bunker, and somebody else. And I think that is basic in their, that conditions their recommendations to you. And I must respectfully say that I think that the paramount objective here, the number one objective, is not that of mechanics, but to get a good, sound, viable agreement made and presented by FORA to the OAS and get it made as fast as possible.
Well, in that, there's no difference in view with me.
Yes,
if there's a difference with Ball, I don't believe it. But if it is, I'm not aware of it. Now, Bob, you agree with that, don't you?
No, sir, Mr. President. I think that there is a difference of the exact kind that Abe has mentioned with, I won't say Ball, but with certain members of the State Department who do believe that.
I mean, you agree with Abe's objective.
Oh, absolutely. I agree with
you.
Absolutely.
Now, I don't know what they think, but what difference it makes if we're carrying it out.
Well, if we hope you will have somebody take another look at that cable. I may have misheard it. I just heard it on the telephone. But I think it's quite important to take a look at this.
I think that the State Department wants this thing to be OAS thing, ultimately. Just like we do, but I think they want anything that anybody will agree to now, as quick as they can. I don't think that they object to our negotiating with Bosch and with Embert, and I think they're anxious for us to. And if the cable implies that they're not, what I thought of saying in the cable is to make it clear to one side how we feel about the communists, make it clear to the other side that, that is what we're getting if we get anything. And that he's got all he needs and wants and all he should have, and for that reason he ought to go along with it. And that would produce an agreement if one could be produced, which I do not think so, but which I do not.